Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
All right, welcome to the show. I'm Brett Amundson, back in the United States, but not back in Minnesota yet. This week, we've been up in northwest Wisconsin, spending time with the family at the cabin that I grew up at near Luck, Wisconsin. We spent time chasing bass, pike, and muskie, and later in the show, I'll talk about how we did up here. We'll get a fishing report from Joe Henry. He's also at ICAST in Orlando right now, so he's out there checking out what new products are coming out this year. So we'll get the lowdown from what's happening at ICAST in Orlando, Florida from Joe Henry. And we'll also find out how the walleyes are biting right now on Lake of the Woods. We'll head up to Devil's Lake in North Dakota to see how fishing has been over there during this stormy week with Lucas Mertens. And of course, we'll touch on Mille Lacs to explore what might be happening there after the Governor Smalley trip that resulted in more walleyes being caught than bass. Jamie Dittman, I'm sure, will be happy to weigh in on that topic. Our first guest on the show spent the week along with us at Tazen Lake Lodge last week and also hosts the Fish Finders on World Fishing Network. He's Alan Gibbons, and he joins us now. Alan, have you recovered from the trip to Tazen yet?
Thanks very much, Brett. I think physically I've recovered, but it's going to take a long time before I get over some of those fish that we caught up there.
Man, that's quite a place, isn't it?
It's an amazing fishery, and I think if I had to sum it up in one word, I would say spectacular. The diversity up there of quality and quantity of lake trout is just incredible. I think you'd be pretty hard pressed to find a place like Tazen for lake trout fishing.
Yeah, have you ever seen anything like that before?
I have not. I know there are some other lakes that hold some good trophy size fish, and a lot of those lakes probably being in that same region. But from a personal standpoint, I've never experienced that. You know, as an example, one day up there, with Trevor Montgomery, one of the part owners of the place, we managed to tag into trophy lake trout in total. Six that we got into the boat and three that didn't quite make it that far. But, that's an incredible day. That's an incredible day anywhere for lake trout fishing, let alone catching lake trout that are up to, our biggest for the day was 46 inches and, mid-30s. Wow. in terms of weight. So, no, I've never experienced that before. It's just incredible.
That's amazing. Yeah, that was one day up there at Tazen Lake when you fished with Trevor Montgomery. And it's funny because I caught a 42-inch laker up there, which you catch a fish like that anywhere else and you're, doing cartwheels and it's like, yeah, all right, I'll get a bigger one.
I totally agree with you. My first day, we were just out trying a few different techniques. And one of the things that Trevor said when we got up there was basically the first couple of days that you spend up there are orientation. You're learning the tackle and the techniques for catching these big fish. And if you get one, that's actually just a bonus. But then the next few days of the trip, the latter half of the week, you're actually targeting these big fish. Well, on day one for us, we went out to a place that was not, not one of the big fish rich areas. And we managed to get a 38 inch and a 43 inch fish, which tied my personal best. We were just blown away. We were totally unprepared for that. And it's incredible. And that sets the stage for six more days of lake trout fishing. And how are you going to top that? But, it's just incredible.
Yeah, and it's fun catching those giants up there. But sometimes it's just fun to hit the shorelines and catch fish at will. I think you could catch 100 lake trout in a day easily if you wanted to up there.
I totally agree with you, and we probably came close on a couple of days to numbers like that. And I think that's a great, that's a great selling feature of a lake like that too, because not everybody is going to want to put the time in to catch one of these trophy lake trout, but you might just want to, like you said, just have a day where you just cast the shorelines and catch the numbers of fish. And these are still good fish. These are still, I would say, the average that we were catching just casting the shorelines and trolling along the along some of the shoals was probably around the 4 to 8 pound range. They're still good fish and great fighting fish. So that diversity is really cool. You've got the big and the small and good numbers of both.
Do you think we'll see a world record come out of there soon?
I think that's a really good question. And I think that it is certainly possible. From my experience, I have only fished, there's one main area that they fish on that lake for trophy lake trout. I think in Saskatchewan, I could be wrong on this, but I think a trophy is considered anything bigger than about 34 inches, I think. And we caught, I don't know how many between our two groups, we probably got well into the double digits of trophies anyway, and a lot that were a lot bigger. Last year, you probably caught the biggest of the trip, I believe, which is a 48 inch fish by 30 something. It was a huge fish anyway, monster fish. And I know the lodge has got fish upwards of about 73 pounds, I believe. I think it's possible. I think having, you know, going back to just having fished that one part of that one body of water and catching fish of that quality, I think if the other areas of that lake were explored and worked as hard as that one area was, I think there's a very real possibility that a world-class fish could come out of there.
Alan Gibbons, our guest from the Fish Finders television show on Sporting Journal Radio. He was with me up at Tazon Lake Lodge last week, Tazon Lake in northwestern Saskatchewan. How many years have you been going up there?
This year, Brett, marked my third trip to Tazon, and hopefully third of quite a few. I really enjoy that fishery. But yeah, I've done shows featuring the lake trout fishery, both, as we mentioned before, the quantity and quality of fish. But the other aspect of Tazon Lake from a fishing standpoint is the trophy pike fishery as well. And that's one area that we focused, I think, on our second season up there. We focused on the pike fishery as well.
Yeah, and we did that. Had you ever sight fished pike like that before with those streamers?
I've sight fished pike before, but it was incredible how effective those streamers were. That was something that we weren't, from a tackle standpoint, weren't really prepared for. We had various streamers, but those pike seemed to love the white bucktail with red flash, and that was definitely the go-to lure. And sight fishing using just those produced some amazing fish.
Yeah, I caught more 40 plus inch pike up there in a handful of days of fishing for pike than I have in my entire life anywhere else.
Oh, absolutely agree with you. It's great. Well, not only that, the biggest ones that we got on this trip, and we really actually didn't target pike so much on this last trip, but we managed to get a couple into the 40s, and they were both caught trolling for the smaller lake trout. You know, trolling these shorelines and rock humps out in the open, and we managed to get a few big pike off of those. So I'm sure there's, you know, we spoke about records coming out of the lake for lake trout. I expect an absolute monster northern pike in some of those deeper shoals as well.
Yeah, there's 50 inch pike in there, which just astounds me. I mean, I can't even comprehend a fish that big. We had two 44 inchers this year. I caught a 43 and a half. And last year I set a new personal best with a 43 and a half. I tied it last year. I had two 43 and a halves. And then this year I caught a 43. I can't break the 43 and a half mark, Alan.
Mine is 43 as well. My personal best. And, I did not beat that on this trip. My personal best, I came up to Tazon this year with a personal best pike of 43 inches and a personal best lake trout of 43 inches. So I can at least happily say I walked away from Tazon this year upping my lake trout personal best, but I fell short on pike. And I beat the lake trout personal best by 3 inches. So that was a significant jump for me. But pike, I think maybe next year I'll spend a bit more time trying to up that best. And I've seen pike come out of that lake that were, I think the biggest one was 40, it was either 48 and a half or 49 inches, very close to that 50
wow.
mark, and just massive, massive fish.
Unreal. You know, a big fish, and Alan, I'm pretty sure I put on about 15 pounds from all the food we ate up there.
That's not, yeah. You gain weight just thinking about the food that we ate. That was just absolutely, you know, it's a funny thing. That's not something I expect when I go to a remote place like that. But what an amazing bonus that is. You know, the food preparation was outstanding.
Alan Gibbons is our guest. He's the host of Fish Finders TV. We'll find out what some of his other adventures with the TV show have been and let you know where and when you can watch it when we come back here on Sporting Journal Radio. Plus walleyes, muskie, Lake of the Woods, Devil's Lake, Mille Lacs, and more. Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskie. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Minnesota's Confident Gemini event of the summer. Moondance Jam 26.
The lineup is locked.
And we're ready to rock with live. Hailstorm. The Steve Miller Band. Melissa Etheridge. Peter Frampton. The Pretty Reckless. Better Than Ezra. Blackstone Cherry. Vince Neil, Motley Crue, and many more. Jeff Jammer, save $30 off a gate price when you order your tickets now. Call 877-MOON-JAM or visit moondancejam.com. Moondance Jam 26, July 20th through the 22nd, Walker, Minnesota.
Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. We're back, Sporting Journal Radio. Thank you for listening. I'm Brett Amundson. Our guest is Alan Gibbons from Fish Finders TV. Alan, first of all, where are you based out of?
I am based in the greater Toronto area in Ontario, Canada. So home base for me is about 30 miles west of Toronto.
You know, it always surprises me when I think about Ontario. You know, I grew up knowing Ontario, you know, growing up in Minnesota, Ontario is right above us. And to think that Ontario is a huge province. I'm always shocked at how far east it goes.
Yeah. It is a very big province. And actually when we started the Fish Finder show, our first season, we didn't leave the province. We could continue to film season after season, just staying in Ontario. It's a huge province. It's got a huge amount of diversity, lots of bodies of water, and certainly, you know, most of the freshwater species of fish that we'd want to focus on in the show. So yeah, you're right. It's huge.
Is that where you grew up? Are you from that area?
I actually was born. I was born in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. So very close to where we were fishing last week. I didn't spend much there. I was a very young kid, left from there, went to New Zealand, and then family came back here again to Canada, and I've also spent a bit of time over in England as well. But for my teenage years and growing up, it's all been in the Southern Ontario area.
Now, wait a minute. I just want to back up just 1 minute, because I'm pretty sure I heard you say New Zealand in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, too young to be able to enjoy the fishery there. But I was actually... I was only in Saskatoon for, I think it was about 4 weeks, and then my family moved to New Zealand, and I was there for maybe about 4 years, and then back to Canada. And as my parents were moving around through the teaching at the universities, we spent some sabbatical time over in England and various places. So there was a lot of moving around when I was younger, but yeah, grew up in this area. Places that I'd love to go back and visit, though, that's for sure.
I bet. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, I like Saskatchewan. I think I could get used to that. You know, my grandfather was born in Saskatchewan. And, I could see living in Saskatchewan. I think that'd be all right.
I think from our standpoint, from the type of work that you and I are doing, it's got huge amount to offer, you know, from a hunting and fishing standpoint, and just an outdoor wilderness standpoint. Yeah, it's got a bit of everything. That area that we were into, things really change when you get that far north, and where we were was almost on the Northwest Territories border. I think we're only about 15, 20 kilometers away from that border. And that's just a beautiful part of that province too. It gets more mountainous and rocky, and it's just really picturesque.
Our guest, Alan Gibbons from the Fish Fighters TV show on the World Fishing Network, joining us here on Sporting Journal Radio. You talked about where you traveled, where you grew up, but when it comes to the TV show, where all have you traveled?
It's been reasonably limited. Like I said, we've done a lot of filming in Ontario, and that was our primary focus probably for the first two seasons. Quebec has some great fishing opportunities as well. We've done a couple of shows in Quebec, and as you're aware, we branched into Saskatchewan. We've gone to a couple of there, and we've done that now for a few seasons. I'm looking to get into Manitoba. Manitoba is another gem. There's huge diversity in Manitoba, and then also start looking out into the East Coast. We had a few offers into the East last year, but too late to capitalize on them. So that's, we're slowly spreading. We've had offers from down in the States too, and would love to start to showcase some of the fishing in the States as well. But currently we're looking at three provinces, branching out slowly each season and bringing more areas into the show.
Well, you should get to Lake Winnipeg before they take too many fish out of it, because it's been the last 10 years, at least, it's been an incredible fishery.
Yeah. I've heard a lot. I actually haven't fished at all in Manitoba. So I've only seen what that province is capable of yielding. It's pretty incredible.
Alan Gibbons, our guest, the Fish Fighters TV show on Sporting Journal Radio. You know, you talk about, and when I say Lake Winnipeg, I'm talking about winter fishing, and it can get, of course, it can get a little windy up there, and the snow can get a little deep, they always say, bring a buddy, use the buddy system. Don't go out there mm-hmm. alone. And filming a fishing show in Canada like that, particularly in winter, that's got to get interesting sometimes.
Yeah, interesting is a good word for it, and I'm sure you've documented adventures in the winter too. It's difficult for this season anyway. I'm doing things on a solo level, and that's, for me, is a real challenge, and I'm really, really enjoying it. It's been very rewarding, but it started this winter in February. I went up to Lake Nipissing, up to one of the ice bungalows that I've been to before. A great location on Lake Nipissing. And I did my first few minutes of solo filming on the ice. And you're right, the challenges that you think you have in the softwater season are just doubled when you add the cold onto that. Biggest one being batteries. Battery life
oh, sure.
is dropped, drops drastically when you have cameras out on the ice, and keeping lenses clean and not condensing and everything else. But yeah, it's certainly got its share of challenges. Audio is another big problem with microphones being buried under layers and layers of clothing and usually windy conditions and snow and everything else. So yeah, it's got a.
Well, I was just thinking, just
challenge associated with it.
Just staying on the roads sometimes.
Yeah. Well, there is that too. Yeah.
Is there one species of fish you prefer to chase over others?
Wow, that's a good question. I thought there was. Yeah, I think when I started this, I thought there was, and it probably would have been walleye at the time. I quite enjoyed walleye fisheries around here. But I think, having done this now for four seasons and having worked with a great number of guides that are multi-species anglers, my thoughts on that have really changed, and I've done everything from carp fishing that I wouldn't have dreamed of doing before and really, really enjoying that, you know, to the great musky fishing and what we experienced up in Tasman with these monster trout. So I don't think there's anything that I really embrace every fishing trip that I go on. And I think it's the people that I meet along the way as well that just make that an even more memorable experience. But I don't think there's anything that, I wouldn't drop one fishing trip for another when it just comes to the species of fish. I think I'm truly a multi-species angler now, and I enjoy fishing for all of them.
Well, like in walleyes, you'd fit right in here in the Minnesota region. There's a few walleye lakes and a few walleye fishermen around here. Tell us about...
So I've heard.
So if you were... I know you just talked about liking all sorts of trips and like that, but looking back, what's been your favorite walleye fishing trip that you've done?
Well, I think there's probably been a couple. I would say one that was on that bucket list when it came to walleye fishing was the Bay of Quinte in Lake Ontario. And the Bay of Quinte is just known for monster. And I've had the opportunity to fish that two or three times, with the biggest fish that that we managed to pull out being a 15.5-pound walleye. And that's just,
wow,
you know, that's just a massive, massive fish. And as much as that was, you know, that was a huge check mark on that bucket list, there are some other places as well where I've gone walleye fishing that have involved, you know, kayaking and solo camping and 7-day trips in the wilderness and catching much, much smaller fish. But the overall, you know, the overall satisfaction of that trip, I think, has been equally rewarding. So I'd probably have to rate Quinte at the top just from a size standpoint, from the trophy fishery standpoint. But, you know, there's some great opportunities for walleye fishing that have really left a, you know, left a mark in my, sure, in my walleye memories anyway.
I want to say I interviewed somebody a couple of years ago that caught a, maybe a world record walleye out of there, maybe through the ice or something like, I can't remember, but it was a pretty big fish in any case. And I think I also remember last year after the Tazon Lake trip, you either before or right after that trip, you got into some pretty big muskies over there somewhere too.
Oh yeah. We did a couple of muskie episodes last year. One place in particular that I go to on the Ottawa River holds some very big fish. Also did a good trip along the St. Lawrence River and very close to, the same areas that we're getting the big walleye. And actually, while we were trolling for muskies along the St. Lawrence, we actually got some big walleye on the muskie spoons, but, or the muskie baits. But, I think my biggest last year was probably just shy of the 50 inch mark. But, the year before that, I did muskie fishing late fall on Lake Nipissing, and that's where I got my 53 inch. Mm. It was 40 some odd pounds. I can't remember the total weight now, but a very big fat fall muskie. And that's the one to beat. That was an amazing experience. And of course, it's one of those days where you've got, you know, 2 and 3 foot swells in a small boat bouncing around with, you know, with 2 or 3 lines out the back of the boat. And it was just a hugely memorable experience. But, yeah, we've got some big muskie around here.
Alan, where and when can people watch the Fish Finders TV show?
The Fish Finders, Brett, is on the World Fishing Network, which is carried by, I think it's broadcast to about 65 million households. Currently, season 4 is in reruns, and I believe it is playing now on Wednesday, Fridays, and Saturdays. I'm not exactly sure of the time, but we've been quite fortunate in that every season the network has rerun the show all throughout the year. So we've been on for the last 4 years straight. So, but I believe currently it's on Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. And the next season, season 5 that we're currently filming now, will commence in January of 2018.
And there you actually play a cameo role in the last year's episode of Northland Outdoors at Tazon Lake. You were eating one of the meals. Famous meals.
So you told, with my face covered, I believe.
Yeah. All right. And online and on Facebook, we can find Fish Finders?
That's correct. Yeah. The fishfinders.tv online, and same on Facebook, and also under my name, Alan Gibbons. And we've also got a fairly decent presence on YouTube as well, where we've got a bunch of videos, not fishing shows yet, although the first season will be going onto YouTube very shortly. But we've also got other videos, underwater videos and things like that, that we've put on over the last few years. So that channel will continue to grow as well.
Definitely some good stuff. The Fish Finders. Alan Gibbons, I appreciate the time here on Sporting Journal Radio.
Well, thanks very much for the opportunity to talk about the show and to talk about fishing in general, Brett. And I'm looking forward to our next time together on the water.
Absolutely. All right. Coming up, Joe Henry from iCast. We'll talk about some of the new products coming out this year. He'll also give us a fishing report from Lake of the Woods. Lucas Merton will talk Devil's Lake, and Jamie Dittman will weigh in with his opinions on the situation on Mille Lacs.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
You are listening to Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in. We're going to head up to North Dakota now to check in with Lucas Mertens from Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Lucas, I know the other day a tornado rolled through. It was probably east of where you're at up there, but how's the weather been this last week?
Well, we've had a little bit of everything. We've had hot weather, cold weather, some big storms.
Yeah, we were fortunate enough for that, where the real severe weather was east of us. We kind of lucked out on that, but there was heavy rain and some tornadoes and some straight line wind. So I feel kind of lucky we missed all that.
Been kind of a stormy summer, but has that affected your fishing much over there?
You know, when we get into July, it really doesn't seem like the weather swings these fish too much. They're really grouped up. When guys are finding fish right now, they're finding a lot of numbers. You know, you can have 100 fish day pretty easily. And the size of the fish have been really nice this year. There's a lot of them 17 to like 21 that guys are keeping. And then there's been a lot of 25, 26, 27 inch fish that are being caught. Just doing it, you know, just spinners and crawlers, or if you want a jig, the jig bite's been really good. And also the slip bobber bite has been really good this summer.
Oh, really? You know, that's interesting. You know, I always think about slip bobbers growing up, slip bobbers and leeches, and thinking about all the bait stealers that I have to deal with, like smallmouth and things like that. You don't have a smallies or bass in Devil's Lake, do you?
No, we have the striped bass or the white bass, but we don't have any smallmouth. I wish we did, but we don't. And but the bass, too, have been, that's always a fun fish to, if you got kids, to get into those bass. They fight really nice. They're just kind of a sporty fish to catch.
Absolutely. So with walleyes, you're talking, man, lots of numbers and lots of good-sized numbers too, good eaters and some trophies, spinners, jigging, slip bobbers. Is there any type of depth you're looking for out there right now?
Well, it seems like these fish have been moving back and forth from 10 feet all the way out to, there's some fish hanging out in that 30 feet. They're on those old shorelines when Devil's Lake, you know, Devil's Lake has risen so much. They're kind of on the breaks where the old shorelines are. There's a good number of fish out there. But the nice thing about Devil's Lake is it just seems like the fish in every kind of water column in Devil's Lake. Like Sunday, I took my kids out on the pontoon, and we just pulled spinners in 8 feet of water, and the kids had a blast. We caught a ton of fish. So it's pretty diverse, pretty easy to go out and catch some fish this time of year.
That's a great thing about Devil's Lake. It's quite the fishery up there. Haybell Heights Campground and Resort, do you still have, if people want to come up there this summer, I know it's starting to get pretty late here in the year, do you still have openings, whether it's guided fishing or maybe some openings with your lodging?
Yeah, we have a few cabins open here and there. July is a busy month for us. In August, we'll go all the way through Labor Day. And then people kind of slow down on the fishing end and start thinking about bow hunting and duck hunting and things like that. But people can call, we can look at the schedule, see if we can fit you in. That'd be the best bet, to just give me a call.
All right, haybaleheights.com has got the phone number and more information about Haybale Heights Campground and Resort, Devil's Lake, North Dakota. Lucas Mertens, thanks for being on Sporting Journal Radio.
Hey, thank you.
Now we're going to head to central Minnesota to check in with Jamie Dittman, who guides in that central Minnesota area, the Brainerd Lakes area. Jamie, how are things?
Very good.
Man, you get spoiled when you spend a week at Tazen Lake, don't you?
It was. You know, if they want to follow me hiding underneath that cabin, I'd still be there. But until we can go again, yeah, it was amazing fishing. I mean, from the lake trout to the pike, and it's just making a whole new plan of attack now for fishing down here. Learned a lot up there, and Trevor showed me some really neat stuff. So,
yeah, we went out to a lake here in northwest Wisconsin, and it's there's a small lake, a little deep in the middle, and then covered with lily pads around the edges. The entire thing is surrounded with lily pads. So I went to the bait shop. I bought swim jigs right away, which I watched Eric Altena do, and just slam bass on the Mississippi River. So I bought some swim jigs, and then I looked for those streamers that we were using up on Tazen Lake, and that the pike just could not resist. And this particular bait shop didn't have any streamer flies, so I still need to try to find some of those. But what I did do, though, is took some top water, some of those floating frogs. They'd miss it every time, but man, that's exciting fishing top water like that.
It's I did it a different way. I didn't look at the bait shop. I ordered a fly tying kit.
Oh, look at you. Right. So you're going to start tying your own?
I'll be building some.
Nice.
Yep. New plan for muskie season.
Yeah, absolutely. Jamie Dittman is our guest here, Sporting Journal Radio. You're in the central Minnesota area. You got big pike. You got muskies there. You got walleyes. What are you hearing about the fishing over there right now?
They're getting a few walleyes on gull, a few walleyes on whitefish, lots of walleyes on mille lacs. I mean, last week.
Well, we'll talk about mille lacs here in just a second. But I also heard that Dan Bilzerian was in the Cross Lake area or the Brainerd area or something last week. Is that right?
Yeah. I actually seen a boat with a lot of commotion last year up there, and somebody told me who it was. But yeah, I guess he comes up every year.
That's crazy to think that that guy comes to the Brainerd Lakes area like that. He's the guy.
Well, why wouldn't you?
Well, I guess he's a guy that won a bunch of money playing poker. And now if you follow, he's a social media celebrity. If you follow him on any of the social media channels, he's usually got pictures of scads of beautiful women and automatic weapons in all of his pictures.
Yep.
Living the American dream, I guess. And he goes to Brainerd. That's crazy. But anyway, Jamie Dittman, Mille Lacs. You brought up Mille Lacs. Let's touch on it just a little bit because the governor went up there, Governor Dayton went up there to showcase the world-class smallmouth bass fishing that Mille Lacs has. And it happened to do it when the walleye season was closed because of the walleye situation up there. And what happened, Jamie?
Catch walleyes.
That's all he caught was walleyes.
Which is what we heard. You know, it's the same thing last year when the BASS was here. Every guy on stage says, man, I don't know who told you guys don't have walleyes, but man, did we catch walleyes.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
and those guys are all on artificial bait, you know, I mean, not fishing for them and catching tons. So.
Yeah. And Seth, the local kid that won that bass tournament last year, that's all he caught was out. He went out there with the governor, and I think Minnesota Bound filmed out there, and I was watching the Minnesota Bound episode, and that that's what happened. Seth caught all walleyes. The governor caught all walleyes. I think Ron Shera finally caught a smallmouth. But, I mean, man, and then I commented on Facebook, I would not want to be a biologist or a fisheries manager in charge of that situation right now, because you're right. The walleye fishing is unbelievable. And Governor Dayton even said that. He said after fishing up there and kind of seeing it and hearing the protests, of course, there were some protests. He wants to revisit the walleye restrictions this fall, when they start talking about winter regulations and probably regulations for next year. But I mean, Jamie, what do you think about what happened over there in the last week or two?
Well, you know, a lot of people were pretty negative about the protest stuff, but you know, obviously it was heard.
Right.
You know, we're finally getting the walleyes looked at, and you know, I can see the walleye fishery, you know, with smaller limits or closed in certain cases, but with the variety of fish we're catching out there, you know, you're catching 13 to 27 inches. And there's, you know, I'm not a biologist, but I don't see any missing in your classes. The only thing I see is shortage of bait fish.
Well, some people are saying the fish look a little skinny. Do you think that could be an issue? Do you think resting them a little bit could solve that?
No, I think by not letting you keep any, there's more fish and less bait fish. You know, maybe a few need to be taken out because there's no more perch bite and there's no more schools of perch that we used to see. Used to, you know, not keep them off your lines, and they were bothered. There's so many bait fish. Now, I mean, I haven't caught a perch there or seen a perch all summer.
Well, it's a strange situation. Again, like I said, I'm glad I'm not in charge of making the decisions over there, but maybe we'll see some changes for next year, or maybe even this winter. I can't see us keeping more than one fish again this winter. Maybe they'll bump it up to two, but I bet it'll be one again, and then maybe we'll see some changes for next summer. Jamie, you do a little guiding on Mille Lacs, other areas there in central Minnesota. People want to jump in the boat with you. This year, can they still, or if they want to plan a trip for next year, what do they do?
Yep, this year still, and we go to Mille Lacs for smallies or around here for walleyes or wherever you want to go. Just call S&W Bait and ask for Jamie or look at S&W Guide Service up on Facebook.
Jamie, thank you very much. ICAST.
Thank you.
has been going on the last week in Orlando, and Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods has been down there. He's going to give us an update on some of the new products that have debuted at ICAST this year, plus let us know how the fish are biting on Lake of the Woods. He's next on Sporting Journal Radio.
Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
Minnesota's Camping Jamming event of the summer, Moondance Jam 26.
The lineup is locked.
And we're ready to rock with live Hailstorm, the Steve Miller Band, Melissa Etheridge, Peter Frampton, the Pretty Reckless, Better Than Ezra, Blackstone Cherry, Vince Neil, Motley Crue, and many more. Jammer, save $30 off a gate price when you order your tickets now. Call 877-MOON-JAM or visit moondancejam.com. Moondance Jam 26, July 20th through the 22nd, Walker, Minnesota.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the northwest angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
You are listening to Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. This time of year is a big convention that takes place down in Florida, I believe. And if you like to fish, you probably know about it. If you're in the fishing industry, you might even be there right now. I have a lot of friends that are down there right now. And we're going to get a report of what's going on down at ICAST from Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods. We'll also maybe find out how fishing is going right now on Lake of the Woods as well. Joe, how are things?
Hey, Brett, things are good. I'll tell you what, they're a lot hotter down here in Orlando, Florida than they are up in Minnesota. I can guarantee you that.
I bet it is, but I'll tell you what, it's been pretty steamy. We were out doing some fishing and during the week, and it was mid-80s. We had some pretty good heavy storms that rolled through, so it's been kind of hot and steamy. I think it's too hot up here. I don't know if I'd want to be in Florida right now.
You know, it's funny because as a lot of listeners probably know if they've been down to Orlando, you know, this time of year, between 4 and 6 o'clock, there's normally a rain shower just because humidity builds up all day, and it's sticky, you know, but most of your day is spent in air conditioning, so it's just fine. It's when you go outside once in a while, but yeah, it's a beautiful area down here. And of course, when you talk an ICAST, you know, you're talking about a lot of fishing that's from all different aspects of fishing. It's sea, you know, it's ocean fishing. It's bass. It's walleyes. It's Midwest. It's fly fishing. I mean, really such a variety down here.
It's funny. You'd think if you're going to have an event like this in Florida, you think you'd do it in January or something like that.
Supply and demand. I bet the show is a lot cheaper in July in Orlando than it is in January.
I'm sure it is. Well, fishing is what what obviously is the topic down there. The weather is one thing. The fishing is number one, obviously. What are you seeing so far? Has it been pretty busy? Are you seeing some new products? You seeing some old friends? How's it going?
It's going good. You know, it's funny because I usually come down each year and, you know, it's a combination of everything. And really, you know, I'll look at the products and such, and it's cool to see them because I'm an angler myself, obviously. But, you know, it's really more some meetings I have down here, building some relationships, seeing old relationships. It's funny how many people in the fishing industry from Minnesota, I come down to Orlando, Florida to see, and I don't see them up in Minnesota because we're all going our own ways.
Sure. Right. Well, when you see that, it just kind of cements the idea that Minnesota is kind of a fishing mecca, right?
It is, yeah. I mean, there are a lot of people and a lot of companies from Minnesota, from the Midwest down here. Yep, and Minnesota has a very, very strong following in a lot of its reputable companies. And I'll tell you what, too, I mean, there's a lot of cool products that are being introduced. I mean, everything from rods to reels to new lures for both ice fishing and open water fishing. There's new line that's being introduced. I mean, some of the things I saw today that kind of piqued my interest. I mean, boy, Northwood's got a jig and spoon coming out that
actually has a little glow stick, mini glow stick that you put in the middle of the spoon. And I'll tell you what, for Lake of the Woods, that stained water, I'm kind of excited about that. Different lines out. I know that Rapala, Suffolk has some new line out. I saw that there's supposed to be a new fire line out that's four times stronger than the original fire line.
Wow.
This is where everything is introduced. All the companies build up to ICAST, and this is where they introduce it. In fact, tonight I'll go to a reception where they announce the winners in each category, and it's pretty amazing. I saw one cool product. You take in the back of your stern, where you put your stern light for your boat, and you can put it in a pole there, and it's an LED light that will be powered off your boat power from the light socket, and it pretty much lights up your whole boat with an LED light. They also have one of those for a GoPro camera that will power your GoPro camera. So, I could go on and on about the things you see down here, but, when it's all said and done, a lot of it's about the relationships.
Boy, those LED lights, they've kind of changed the game, haven't they?
Oh, man. Well, from hunting to fishing to just any outdoor activity, they're bright, they last a long time, they use low power, and then combine those with the technology and batteries that have come about, and you really got a neat thing.
I see them in inside boats, outside boats, and I've got them lining on the inside of my truck topper so I can see when I'm either there at night or early in the morning when I'm unloading the back of my truck. I see them on the front of bumpers, custom bumpers on trucks. It's unbelievable. Joe Henry is our guest. He's at ICAST in Florida right now on Sporting Journal Radio. Joel, I was fishing in northwest Wisconsin. I'm up at the cabin for the week, and we had gone to fish a lake. We wanted to do some bass fishing, and I tied on a topwater lure of one of those floating frogs. And, it was hot, sunny, mid-80s, and the bass were deep back underneath these lily pads. And topwater fishing is some of the most fun fishing you can do. But I'll tell you what, it was so thick, and I was bouncing this frog along the top of these lily pads, and these bass would get so excited, the water would explode, and they'd come up and cram that lily. I don't even know if they're seeing the frog or the shadow of the frog on top of the lily pad, and they come up and scream and hit that pad from the bottom and kick that frog about 3 feet into the air. I didn't catch a single fish. But I must have had 10 or 20 of them, that came up and attacked this frog. And I was thinking the whole time, and there was some nice pike in this lake too, and there's a lot of musky lakes around here. It would have been fun to have that lure that you were telling us about last year from ICAST that looked like a baby duck swimming across the top of the surface. I think one of those might have been good to break out. Have you seen anything like that this year?
I did, yeah. I'll tell you, I saw a couple of them. They have baby ducks, they have mice, they have rats. I saw some imitation bats, of all things. Bats where the wings are out on the bat at about a 45-degree angle, and you pull it in, and it kind of clacks across the top of the water.
What?
I saw a saltwater lure that actually has a camera built into it. So the camera is facing rear so that when it's a popper, a big popper they use on topwater for saltwater. And it's got the camera coming out the back so that you'll be able to see the actual fish coming up and eating this thing. Now, you talk about cool footage, Brett, to add to what you do. Wouldn't that be neat?
Oh, that would. Underwater cameras have come a long ways, and they're just about to explode. In fact, last week when we were in Saskatchewan, we employed a variety of different underwater cameras and got just some really cool stuff. I think that whole underwater world is really going to open up to us with underwater cameras now.
You're talking about bass hitting top water. I had an opportunity to fish a kind of a media/celebrity company bass tournament called the ICAST Cup. It's just a 4-hour tournament. We start fishing at about 6:30 in the morning because it gets so hot down here. And so we get out of the tournaments from 6:30 to 10:30 in the morning. And I fished with a couple of really good guys who represented GoPro lures out of Wisconsin, out of, I think, Waukesha. And it was really fun. I'm normally a walleye guy. But we targeted bass on this Lake Toho, which is down in Kissing, Florida, just a little bit south of Orlando. And we went out, we were doing topwater, and we're using great big plastics with paddle tails. And I was, they said, oh, the media, I was a media guy. And the media guy wants to fish with it. That's great. Well, I put that sucker on, and I was working some different weeds, and that water just exploded. I set that hook, and when it was all said and done, we We had a little over a 4-pound largemouth. That thing was nice.
Wow.
And we ended up catching 5 fish that day. And we didn't win the tournament or anything, but boy, I'll tell you, I can see why people get hooked on bass fishing. It's pretty exciting when they come up and whack that big lure like that.
It is. They're a lot of fun. Smallmouth are a lot of fun. Largemouth are a ton of fun, too, especially when they come screaming out of the water like that. Of course, you don't really keep them and eat them like you would a walleye. And if you want to catch some fish and you know, and have a fish fry, Lake of the Woods, that giant walleye factory is probably a great place to head. Joe, just a couple of minutes left here. What have you been hearing about Lake of the Woods this week?
Oh, it's been great. I mean, we've been so lucky. I probably sound like a broken record, but you know, when you go into a fish cleaning houses, when you talk to our charter boat captains and such, I mean, fishing has just been so good, and it remains good. You know, we're still doing some jigging in the mornings and such. On certain days, and depends on where you're fishing, jigging works all day. But you know, a lot of transition going to the bottom bouncers and spinners, crawler harnesses. And, you know, usually that hammered gold blade has been a good one. A pink blade has been good. And even the brighter colors like orange and chartreuse with a crawler or a leech or a minnow. And then some people have started going to the crankbaits. You know, those fish are starting to slide out into that basin. Not all of them are there yet, but there's enough fish out there that if people want to pull cranks out in no man's land, they can do it and they're going to get some fish. That bite will pick up, you know, steam as the summer goes on, but it's just starting now. But fishing's been great. You got people fishing bass. They're whacking the bass. I heard of a lot of a jumbo perch. I just saw Brian Brosdell down here at the show, and he was at the Northland Tackle Booth, and he said he and Heather were up last week, and they not only got some nice walleyes. I know Heather got a 27-incher, and he said they also found one reef that just loaded with jumbo perch, and they nailed them pretty good. So fishing's been good around the lake, Brett.
Bonus fish up on Lake of the Woods, those perch up there. If people are running cranks on Lake of the Woods, are they normally just trolling them, or will they use downriggers or planer boards or anything like that?
If you're fishing walleyes and crankbaits, most people are trying to get them down in that deeper water. And you know, when you're pulling those cranks, a lot of times, unless you're pulling, you know, if there's a shiner bite or something going along Pine Island or some shallow water, well, then you're pulling normal crankbaits on regular rods and reels and line, and that's at 10 to 15 feet of water. You can get those cranks down in that depth. But a lot of times you're fishing that water that's, you know, 25 to 35 feet of water, and it's just miles and miles and miles of mud and a lot of food, a lot of fish. And that's where trolling really excels. So that's where the lead core line, you can use snap-on weights where you're snapping on a 1, 2, or 3 ounce weight along with your crankbait. And in some cases, people can, if they were using a really, really big lipped crankbait that dives real deep, you could get away with that on regular, like a super line, like a Suffix or a fire line or something, and get that weight down there. But most people are using lead core and snap weights if you're lucky enough to have downriggers on your boat, which a lot of the conventional boats don't have, but the charter boats do have. Those downriggers are super effective. Doesn't take nearly as long to get your lure down to the bottom as it does lead core, because lead core, you gotta let out so much line. But of course, lead core, you can get a rod and reel combo with lead core for less than $100.
Joe Henry from ICAST, Orlando, Florida, from Lake of the Woods. If they want to find out, if any of our listeners want to find out more about getting up to Lake of the Woods, where do they go?
Yeah, check out our website. It's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You've been listening to Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors, on the Sporting Journal Radio Network. To listen to this show again, get the latest hunting and fishing news and more, visit sportingjournalradio.com.